Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
So, we began this new series. We're going to be in this for the next couple of weeks. And we're talking about the dual nature and the dual existence of man. Thank you, Brian. And we began in Romans chapter 7. You don't have to turn there, but I want to encourage you to read Romans chapter 7 and 8 if you've never dug into that before. And we looked at the Apostle Paul in Romans 7, and he's talking about these two men on the inside of him. He's talking about how there's one side of Paul that loves God and loves God's word and wants to serve God, but then he says there's this other me. And I'm paraphrasing, but it says there's another me inside of me. There's a sinful me, and the good I want to do, I can't do. And the bad that I don't want to do, these things I keep on doing. And he says, what is the answer? Who will save me from this body of sin? And he says, thank God the answer is in Jesus. Amen. And I'm sure that we've all felt the two, you've all felt the two me's inside of you before, haven't you? All of us have been there. All of us have experienced the part of us that wants to do right and wants to do what we know we're supposed to do, and another part of us that doesn't care and wants to do solely what we want to do. And as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, that can be a real tension. It can be a real fight. It can be a real struggle. In fact, Paul ends his comment there in Romans chapter 7, verse 25. He says, what a wretched man I am. And that word wretched in the Greek we looked at last week meant actually exhausted. It meant to be worn out by physical exercise. Paul was saying, I am worn out wrestling these two me's on the inside of me. Has anyone ever been worn out, felt worn out, trying to figure out which you was going to be the real you? And we talked last week about how Paul, everybody that saw Paul would have said that this guy is a righteous man, a Jew among Jews. He follows the law. He loves the Lord. He's now a Christian serving God and a preacher of the gospel, planting churches all over the world. And Paul said, the me you see is not the same me that I see. And we talked real in depth about the me that everybody else sees versus the me that sometimes we see. And today we're going to really focus and go a little bit deeper and take it to another level and go another layer deep. And we're going to talk about the me I see. Everybody say, the me I see. You can follow along on YouVersion, on your YouVersion Bible app if you have them on your phone or Android. Or else you can turn to your Bible to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 12. And then we're going to look at Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read those right together here. We're going to start in Exodus chapter 12. And then skip right over to Numbers chapter 13 as we begin today. Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. This is the Israelites are leaving Egypt after 430 years of captivity and slavery in Egypt. Pharaoh has let them go. And this is what it says. It says, in fact, it was on the last day of the 430th year that all of the Lord's forces, that's real important there, all of the Lord's forces left the land. Say, the Lord's forces. Other translations say the Lord's army is there, in fact. Now skip over to Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. I'm going to give you the context and history of this text in just a moment. But this is some of the 12 spies a few weeks later speaking. They say in Numbers chapter 13, they say, verse 33, says, we even saw giants there, talking about the promised land. We saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Other translations say, we became grasshoppers in our own sight. And that's how they saw us too. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your supernatural anointing. God, pray for the great exchange to take place in our time today here this morning as we look at your word. God, pray that you will take the mere words that I speak, broken and imperfect as they are. I pray, God, that as they leave this pulpit today, Father God, that they would hit all of our hearts, myself included and chief of all, Lord God, to be the exact thing that we need to hear and receive to be who you've called us to be and to do what you've called us to do, Father, in Jesus' name. In fact, why don't you do this with me? Put your hand on your belly somewhere, because that's where your spirit is, and that's where the Word of God is going to be deposited today. And repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my ears. Open up my eyes. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be what you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Has anybody ever experienced you're getting ready in the morning and you're getting your hair set up? Like, this is an amazing thing I've noticed about myself sometimes, and I think we've all probably experienced this. I can look at myself in the mirror and see one hair out of place, and to me, it looks like my whole head is in disarray. Anybody ever experienced that before? Right? Not looking at me and feeling like my hair is out, and like looking at yourself, you know what I mean? You're like, so that was an amen. I don't know what that meant, Brian. So, but I can look at my hair and see like one little thing that's not doing like I want it to do, and I feel like my whole head is just going crazy. Now, some of you guys don't have hair. You don't have that. That struggle for you is over, and God bless you. You're blessed. Just consider yourself blessed and not to worry about any of those things, right? But how many of you have experienced that before? And then you look at someone, you're like, my hair is totally out of whack today. And my wife will be like, it looks the exact same as it looks every single day. I'm like, no, it's all crazy today. She's like, no, it looks literally. And then maybe you get a picture taken or you see a picture and you're like, oh, look, it does look exactly the same. Nobody even noticed. You ever noticed that before? It's amazing how what I can see, what I see in myself in the reflection in the mirror can sometimes look completely different than what everybody else sees. In fact, how many of you experienced this? You experienced a day where you got yourself all cleaned up. Like today, I was like, you know, I'm going to put a tie on and just step it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Get everything nice. And I can be thinking, man, I look fly today. You know what I mean? I'm ready to go to the club. I'm ready to go to something. I got to go do something because let myself be seen. Whatever. And then you like a day you thought, man, you look really, really good. And then maybe a few months later, a few weeks later, maybe a few years later, somebody captured a photo of you, or you saw a photo today. Nobody develops photos anymore, so you see it on Facebook or you see it on your phone, and you check yourself out on a photo, and you're like, dude, the photo does not, what I see here does not look like what I saw here. And that can be, that you can either say amen or oh me to that. I don't know what it is for you, but that can go both ways. Sometimes the reflection that I see in the mirror doesn't quite match because I have all these preconceived ideas of what I want to look like and what I think I look like. And so my mind will trick myself into seeing that in the mirror. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily look like what everybody else sees. I've never experienced that before. And this is what happens with eating disorders, man. This normally affects women, although men have eating disorders as well. It usually looks a little differently, but women who struggle with eating disorder and body image issues and eating and anorexia, they'll look at themselves in the mirror and they can weigh 80 pounds soaking wet and they can see themselves as 300 pounds in the mirror. You know what I mean? And sometimes. This affects men this way, is that men who want to build muscle and look big and swole and strong and look like Justin Bradley, they want to look like that. They say, I'm just kidding. They look at themselves in the mirror. They'll look at themselves in the mirror, and no matter how big and strong and muscular and ripped they'll even look, they'll see an overweight or a skinny guy, and it pushes them to have all sorts of mental issues and problems. They'll work themselves to death and eat ridiculous amounts of food or not eat any food at all to achieve what they look. But the problem is not with how they look to everyone else. The problem is with the me that we see sometimes in the mirror. And in these two texts I just read to you, Exodus chapter 12, verse 41, this is a nation of slaves, a nation of people who for 400 years, for 10 generations, have lived in servitude and bondage to Pharaoh and to Egypt. And to themselves and to everyone else that saw them, they were nothing more than a nation of slaves. But I don't know if you noticed it or not, but when the Bible says they were leaving Egypt, God called them his army. Did you catch that in Exodus 12:41? It says it was to the 430th year that not the Lord's slaves, not even the Lord's nation, but it says the Lord's forces or the Lord's army left Egypt. They saw slaves. Everybody else even saw slaves. God saw an army. And you know, God has an amazing ability in your and my life to see things that we can never see. Amen? And God often calls you and I something and says something about ourselves in a moment that we will never see in that moment. Listen, when I got saved and rededicated my life to the Lord, I was about 15 years old, and then I felt God call me to preach. Listen, I felt in my heart God called me a preacher, and I was the furthest thing from it at the time. Amen? If you don't believe me, ask my mom and dad. They're back there. They'll tell you. If you would have seen me, good Lord, 20 years ago now, age myself a little bit, 35. Scary. I know that's young. Some of you think I'm still young. 35 feels old to me right now. 20 years ago, if you would have seen me, you would have never saw me doing this right here. You understand what I'm saying? But God saw something in me that I couldn't see and that no one else could see. And God has this ability. God has this way of speaking to you and I. And here's why this happens. Because the Bible says in Revelation, let me give you a little teaching here. The Bible says in Revelation that God is the Alpha and the Omega. You know what that means? That means the beginning and the end. Now, we picture beginning and end on a linear timeline. Something starts, we are born, our life starts, and we live, and then we die, and our life ends. God, time and space are no obstacle to Him. So when I think it's important, we got to understand that God doesn't have a timeline, He has a time circle. Because the Bible says that He's the, let me just do it right here on this mirror since I got this marker here. The Bible says that He is the beginning and He is the end and He is those things at the same time. Does that make sense? So God being Alpha and Omega, beginning and end simultaneously, has the ability to see you. See, we only see where we are on the timeline in a linear equation, but God sees it all at the same time. And so God, being the beginning and the end, can see something in you that I can't see right now, but that He sees at some time in the future. Does that make sense? So 20 years ago, when God called me to be a preacher, it didn't look like that, and I couldn't see that, but God saw something that was going to take place in my life and some work He was going to do in me as I followed Him for the next several years, and He saw me at the beginning and the end at the same time. Come on, somebody. And so when God calls you free, listen, He doesn't say he who the Son sets free will be free indeed because he knows you're free right now. He's seeing you down the road after you let Him work in your life, after you begin to let God do some things in your life. He calls you free right at that moment. He calls you His Son at the moment that He knows you're going to eventually give your life to Him and follow Him and become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So even in a moment where you are the furthest thing away from being a son or a daughter of God, God can see you from the end when we're at the beginning. Does that make sense? And because of that, God has the ability to see things in us that at the moment and in the time that we live in, we cannot always see. And God is always doing this. All throughout Scripture, Peter looked in the mirror in the New Testament and saw a fisherman. Jesus saw a fisher of men. Paul, who was named Saul, who we looked at last week, Saul looked in the mirror and saw a Pharisee, a Jew, and even someone who was killing Christians. Yet Jesus looked at Saul, saw a guy named Paul, and saw someone who He was going to raise up to be a preacher of the gospel and to kill religion and set people free to serve God. Come on, somebody. Moses looked in the mirror and saw someone who was old, who had failed, who was a murderer, who had messed up, but God saw someone He was going to use to be a deliverer and to set His people free. David looked in the mirror and saw a runt, a shepherd, the weakling, the youngest one in the bunch. God looked at David and saw a giant killer and a king. Come on, somebody. God has a way of seeing something in me that I cannot see when I look in the mirror. And this is perfectly illustrated between Exodus 12 and Numbers 13. And let me just say this to everyone this morning before we go on anyplace else. Listen to me close. I did this last week. I don't know why. So everybody lean in. Everybody lean in a little bit. Give me your ear just for a second. Everybody lean in. Listen. You have got to give yourself permission to see the potential me that God sees instead of the broken one that you see. Let me say that again. Let me say it over here to this side. Lean in. You have got to give yourself permission to see the potential me that he sees and not the broken one that I see. And we see this illustrated here. Exodus 12, God says, my army is leaving Egypt. This Numbers 13, you flip the page, you read a lot of reading, but this is really just a few weeks later, maybe even just a few days later. God tells the people of Israel, go into the land, take the land, take the land of Canaan, I've given it to you. It was only about a week's journey from Egypt to Canaan. Instead of going right in and taking over, the people said to Moses, they said, let's send some spies into the land and check things out first. That makes sense, right? How many of us sometimes we can do something that makes sense that's really not what God wants us to do? We got to be careful that just because it makes sense, listen, just because something makes sense doesn't mean it's God's will. Amen? Let me say that again. Just because it makes sense doesn't mean it's God's will. But it made sense, and Moses said, okay. So 12 spies go into the land, one spy from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. The Bible says they go, they spy out the land, they see grapes. They see clusters of grapes that it's taking two men to carry on a single bushel, a single cluster of grapes. They're massive, giant grapes, like the size, I guess, like the size of grapefruits, and maybe even a bit bigger. They said they saw giants in the land and great walled cities. There was all kinds of potential, all kinds of harvest, but they saw the obstacles that was in front of them. And so the Bible says that they come back and they begin to give this report to Moses and to the people. God had already told, God had said, go take the land, I'm giving it to you. And the spies came back, everybody except Caleb and Joshua, and 10 other spies said, guys, we can't do it. And this is what it said. It said there were giants, this is where we come to Numbers 13:33. He said, we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. So here's what we have happening. God sees an army. They saw grasshoppers. God was saying, I see an army coming out of Egypt. But they looked in the mirror and couldn't see the army. All they could see were the grasshoppers. And listen, the way that I see me is crucial and critical if I'm ever going to fulfill God's plan for my life. What I see when I look in the mirror is literally going to make the difference between me living the purpose and the destiny that God's called me to live and me living somewhere below that, never fulfilling my calling. And let's talk about three really, really bad products of not seeing the me that God sees. The first one is this. When I see a me who can't, listen, instead of a God who can. Let me say it again. When I see a me who can't, instead of a God who can, my life gets stuck. And my life will get stuck because I will end up saying no when I should be saying yes. God was saying, go. Go into the land, take it, I've given it to you. You're my army. But the people saw grasshoppers instead of an army. They saw what they couldn't do instead of what God could do. And they said, no, we're going to pass. And you know what happens? They get stuck. And they wander the wilderness for the next 40 years until that entire generation dies out. And a new generation is raised up that will trust God and that will go. And they're led by Joshua and Caleb, the only two that survived that and that said, we can do it. We can take the land. And when I get, here's where they get stuck. And this is a place I believe I see a lot of believers unfortunately stuck in. They get stuck somewhere between freedom and destiny. They're out of Egypt, They're not in bondage. They're free. Yet they're just wandering the wilderness, just kind of aimlessly wandering, basically waiting to die and go to heaven. And I can't tell you how many believers I see living like that, saved, on our way to heaven, you know, out of bondage. I'm not in drug addiction anymore. I'm not in alcoholism anymore. I'm not addicted to pornography anymore. I'm kind of doing a lot of the stuff I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not dealing with some of the issues. I'm free, but I'm not in the promise that God has given to me. And what will get me stuck somewhere in between bondage and purpose is this, what I see. And if I don't ever give myself permission to see the God who can instead of the me who can't, I will live my Christian existence stuck somewhere in between bondage and purpose. Out of sin, not going to hell, but not really doing much for the kingdom of God here on earth until I get to heaven. Amen? And somewhere along the way, I've got to change what I see and the me that I see. Second thing that happens, I will often, watch this, this is going to change some of your perspective and give you some perspective on some people that you've been struggling with. I will often see in others what I don't like about me. I will often project what I see in the mirror, and I'll project that onto everybody else, and I'll see that in everyone else that I come in contact with. See, what happened is they said, we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and then they said, and we looked the same to them. Let me ask something. How in the world do they have any idea how they look to the giants? They aren't inside their head. They didn't have conversations with them. In fact, if you study this Old Testament, you'll realize this. You'll realize when you get to the book of Joshua that the people of Canaan were absolutely scared to death and shaking in their boots because they had heard that the same people and the same God that just destroyed Pharaoh in Egypt were on their way to take their land, and they were scared to death. But because they saw themselves in the mirror, because when they looked in the mirror, they saw not good enough. And they saw grasshoppers. They saw failures. They saw not big enough. I could write down all kinds of other things they saw. But they saw them, because they saw all this in the mirror, what happened is they projected that image onto everyone else. You know, people who are adulterers will often be some of the most jealous people, accusing their partners and their mates and their wives and husbands of adultery constantly. Why? Because they see what they see their fault in themselves, and they decide that instead of looking at themselves, it's easier to just project that onto everyone else and see that in everyone else. People who are liars are mistrusting of everyone because they assume that because they're liars, everyone else is, they see everyone else is dishonest and liars too. You ever experienced this before? People who can't be trusted don't trust anyone else, and they think no one else can be trusted. People who are often to themselves and snobby and stuck up, they will accuse everyone else of being snobbish and stuck up. People who are unfriendly and couldn't say a nice word and couldn't crack a smile, no matter how much you joked with them and how nice you were, will accuse everyone else of being unfriendly. Why? Because they see something in themselves they don't like, but instead of dealing with it in them, we project it onto everyone else. And let me just help you real quick. Let me help you. Now, you don't have to amen, so we don't know we're talking about you, but listen. If everyone you know is a certain way, I've got revelation news for you. You're the one with the problem. If all of your family, all of your friends, everybody you work with, everybody you go to church with, if everybody you know is always unfriendly and stuck up, I got to tell you something. You're probably the one that's unfriendly and stuck up. I don't mean to get in your kitchen and stir your gravy this morning. But I got to tell you honestly, if everyone you know is untrustworthy and can't be trusted, I got to tell you something. Not always, but there's a big chance that you're the one that has some trust issues to deal with. If everybody you know is a gossip and always talking behind your back, chances are you're the one talking behind everyone else's back. Because this is just human tendencies. We project onto others what we see in ourselves. Amen? And the problem with that becomes this. When I project onto you what I don't like about what I see in me, it then becomes impossible for me to connect with the people that God has brought into my life to connect with me. And let me tell you something. You need people in your life. Amen? Listen, church is just not about coming to worship and singing some songs and listening to me preach and giving you some encouragement to go about your day and go about your week. Listen, the church is about coming together and building community and building relationships and having someone that I know has my back and that I can have their back when they need me to have their back. Amen? Church is about coming together and getting connected with people. That's why you've got to get to the church that God has planted you in. Amen? Come on, somebody. But if I'm always projecting my own faults onto everyone else and seeing that in everyone else, it's going to become impossible for me to connect with anybody. And when I don't connect with anybody, guess what? I'm going to live a life miserable, I'm going to live a life lonely, and I'm going to live a life without anybody having my backside. And we all need somebody having our backside when we're in this fight for the kingdom of God. Amen? I need people in my life who can see things in me that I can't see, for good or for bad. That cuts both ways. Amen? I need people in life that can speak things into me. Say, Justin, you need to work on this. Justin, what's going on? I need people that can see some, when I'm negative and see all the world is black and dark. I need somebody to say, man, we got some good things happening. Amen? But if I see negative stuff in everybody all the time and I'm projecting my own negative self-image onto you all the time, I'm not going to be able to connect that way. And then I'm going to be wondering why I don't have any friends. And I'm going to be wondering why I go to church every week and I don't feel like I'm connected with anybody. And I go to work and I don't have any friends there. And sometimes even in my own house, in my own home, I can feel alone and I can feel lonely. Why? I'm not saying it's always the case. I'm just saying sometimes and a lot of the times I need to check out and make sure that I'm not projecting the negative stuff I see onto everyone else. And the third thing that becomes probably the most dangerous, the saddest part of this. Let me just read a couple of verses here. Numbers 13:33, we saw giants there to the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. Watch the next verse. Then, chapter 14, verse 1, then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Listen to this. They were getting ready to go back to slavery instead of going into the promise. The third dangerous thing that happened when I don't see the right me, is the me I see can become the we that we see. When I live my life seeing the me who is broken and who is not good enough and who is a grasshopper and is full of failures, instead of the God who has redeemed me, the God who loves me, the God who can, instead of the me who can't, guess what happens? That attitude begins to infect everyone else around me. Let me say it to you this way. The me you see right here will be the me your kids see in themselves. Amen? Because if you're living life through these lenses of only looking at all the bad parts of yourself and not ever allowing yourself to see the God who can and only the me who can't, guess what? That attitude is going to infect and infiltrate everybody that's around you. And the people that are around you closest and are listening to you and watching you more close than anyone else are your children if you're a parent in this place. And listen, if you don't want your kids walking around with the same negative self that you see, guess what? The only way to fix it is you can't fix it by just telling them and faking your way through it and telling them, hey, you're a good person and you can. No, no. The only way to really do it is to change what you see when you, to change the you, to change the me that you see in the mirror. And that will begin to infiltrate your life. And as you begin to project the image of a God who can in your life instead of the me who is broken and who can't, your kids will begin to pick up on that. Amen? So if you don't want the me you see to become the we that your family sees, something's got to change. Right here. In my vision. This is my illustration of vision. What I see. Amen? What do we do? What do we do? How do we fix this? How can we begin to fix this? Listen, the first thing I've got to do is I've got to get God's perspective through His Word and through prayer. Amen? Listen. I want to take that. You got to take this further. This is not just psychobabble and power of positive thinking. Listen, don't hear that. If you hear me, this is not think happy thoughts and happy things will happen to you. That's not what I'm saying. If you heard that, slap yourself and hear something different. Because that's not what I'm saying. Oh, man. I mean, I believe we all think positively. But listen, as a believer and a child of God, my positive thought has got to come from this book right here. Or otherwise, I'm just making some garbage up. Amen? Listen, I can go to the roof of this building and think positive thoughts and jump off the roof. And I'm telling you right now, the law of gravity is going to overpower my positive thinking. But if I have a word from heaven, the word of God can shift and can overpower the laws of man. Amen? Now, I'm not suggesting going up on the roof and jumping off, but I'm telling you, we have hard evidence. Listen, Peter was in the boat and saw Jesus walking on the water and said, Jesus, if you tell me to come, I'll come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter jumped out and walked on the water. And I know he fell, he got tore up, but he still walked on water. I don't know for how long, but he did it longer than any of us ever have. Amen. We always preach that message so negatively, like Peter was such a bad dude. Homeboy walked on water. Ain't none of us done that. Why did he do it? Because he had a word from Jesus that said, come on. So I've got to get a word from God. I got to get God's perspective on my life. And I do that by getting in the Word. And as I get in this Word, I can begin to see things differently when I look at the me I see can begin to shift. Amen? The second thing I've got to do, once I get God's perspective, I've got to decide that God's perspective is better than the one I see. Let me say it this way. I need to decide that the image I see here from God is better and bigger than the one I see in the mirror. I've got to choose to look at this perspective rather than this perspective. Does that make sense? We see this here with Joshua and Caleb. They were the only two spies who said we can conquer it. But they said we can conquer it. Now this is amazing to me. The 12 spies see the same giants, see the same land, see the same grapes, see the same everything. 10 of them say we're grasshoppers. 2 of them decide God said we can take it. Let's do it. What'd they do? They decided God's perspective and what God said was going to be bigger than what they saw in the mirror. Amen? I bet if we had Joshua and Caleb, if we interviewed them right now, I bet they would tell you and me that they saw themselves as grasshoppers next to the giants too. How could you not? Come here, Brian. He's the closest thing to a giant, I know. Now, I'd be kidding you if I told you that no matter how grand of the Word of God I had, when I'm standing next to Brian, I feel small. And I'm a pretty big guy the opposite way. I don't normally feel small, but Brian makes me feel very tiny. But I tell you right now, I got a word from God that said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I'll whip your tail if I get an opportunity. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, what I'm saying is, Joshua and Caleb, they saw the same thing everybody else saw. And I bet next to the giants, they felt the same way the other 10 felt. But they decided that God's perspective was going to be better than their own perspective. They decided, I'm going to let what God's word is saying, I'm going to let that influence what I see instead of all the other stuff that I could choose to look at and see. Amen? And in our lives, if we're going to do what God's called us to do and discover purpose and go from out of slavery into purpose and destiny, guess what? I've got to decide that God's perspective on my life and about my life is better than whatever else I see in the mirror. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, God's way is better. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, turn to someone and say this. Say, what God sees is bigger than what I see. And so let me just encourage you with this. Listen to me close. Do whatever it takes to get God's perspective. It's available for you and me. Amen? What do you mean, do whatever it takes? I mean, if you need to set your alarm for 10 minutes earlier than you normally do to have 10 quiet moments in God's Word, do it. If you need to turn the TV off 20 minutes before you normally do and before you go to bed, do it. Amen, somebody? If it means coming to church and getting plugged in to a community group or to a life group or getting involved in service and getting involved, do whatever. It may mean switching your radio station, changing, listening to some podcasts to get some preaching and teaching in the Word of God in your life. Do whatever it takes to gain God's perspective on your life and on your situation. Because once you gain God's perspective means the way you see things. Once you begin to see things the way that God sees things, you can begin to look in the mirror and see in your life the God working who can instead of the you who can't. Amen? And the third thing, once you have gained God's perspective, I thought about calling this fake it till you make it, but I wanted to call it something else. But it's the same thing, really. Act as if. Act as if. Once you've gotten a word from heaven, you get God's perspective and God's word on your life and on your situation, begin to act as if God's perspective is actually going to come through in your life. Okay? Nothing's going to happen until I take action. I didn't get no amen, so I got one amen. Thank you. Let me say it one more time. Nothing is going to happen until I take action. Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. Let's go. Let's conquer the land. God said we can do it. Come on. They're ready to roll. They're ready to go to battle. Listen to this. Listen to this. Numbers 14, verse 9. I love this. Just after the people start to weep and wail, and they're talking about going back to Egypt, they're even talking about stoning Moses and Aaron for leading them to this place. Joshua and Caleb speak up. And they say, do not rebel against the Lord in verse 9. Don't be afraid of the people of the land. Listen to this. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. They are helpless prey. Now, if the giants are prey, what does that make Joshua and Caleb? Help me. If the giants are prey, what does that make Joshua and Caleb? The predators. I know we don't want to see ourselves. Listen. I took up hunting a few years ago. I absolutely love bow hunting. It's great. But I'm not going to lie to you. I get a little freaked out in the woods in the morning when it's dark, and at night if we're coming out when it's dark. I just tell you right now, I get scared. I get flat out scared. I mean, I have pulled up to places when it's foggy, and I'm getting ready to start walking out to my stand, and I'm scared to death. And in my mind, I'm thinking that in this tall grass or in this cornfield, I just know that there's a mountain lion or there's a pack of coyotes. There is something. I know that there is something stalking me on the way to my stand. Any other hunters ever felt that? You guys are probably all more manly than me. You don't care about that. I do, man. I get freaked out. I get freaked the heck out. I really don't even know how I'm able to do it. Here's what I do. Even if I'm lying, it sounds so silly, but I've had to literally tell myself before, walking through the dark of the woods, I've told myself this. You're going to laugh. It's okay. I laugh when I say it. I've told myself, I'm the baddest thing in these woods. I'm the baddest thing in these woods. Now, I don't believe it half the time, but I just got to tell myself that. Why? Going to act as if. Got to act as if. I got to fake it till I make it. Amen, somebody? And when it comes to the kingdom of God, and when God's what God says about us versus what we see about us, what we see versus what God sees, guess what? I've got to begin to act as if. And I love that Joshua and Caleb said, these guys are, these giants, these 9-foot-tall, 8-foot-tall giants, they're prey to us because God said we can take the land. Amen? And that's how you need to look, and that's how we need to see every obstacle, every circumstance, every situation, every demonic attack in our lives that the enemy would bring against us. Listen, we need to look at it as helpless prey before the God who is with us in our journey and in our battle. Amen? Turn with me now to the book of James as I wind us down here. Excuse me. As we talk about, because this is what happens when we begin to put action to God's perspective. Watch this. James chapter 1, verse 23-25. It says, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, God will bless you for doing it. Isn't that amazing to me? This blows me away. James says the word of God is like a mirror. So I want you to get, listen, here's what I'm trying to say to you. Getting into this book, getting into this word, getting into situations and atmospheres like this where we get the word taught to us and we're studying the Bible together. Guess what? It's more than just getting some good wisdom for life. It's more than just seeing some good Bible stories to teach our kids and to have a you know some knowledge and encourage ourselves and to pick ourselves up. Listen, when I'm looking into this word, it's like looking into a mirror. But when I look in this word, I'm not looking in the mirror and seeing of all the junk that I see about me. I'm looking into this word and seeing literally what God sees when he sees you and me. Amen? Now, James says, if you look in this book, if you read this word and don't do what it says, you're just looking in the mirror and walking away. Now, and you forget what you look like. Now, if looking into the word and not doing it is like looking in a mirror and forgetting what I look like, then the opposite must also be true. That if I look into this word and begin to act as if this word is actually true about my life, it must be like looking in a mirror and seeing another reflection. It must be like looking in a mirror and seeing. And here's what's going to happen. As I look in this word, it's going to be like looking in a mirror, but instead of seeing a God, instead of seeing the me who can't, I'm going to begin to see the God who can. Amen? Stay with me all over this place. I believe for some of us in this room this morning, it's time to stop forgetting what you look like in God's eyes. Amen? I believe it's time for some of us to stop looking in the mirror and seeing grasshoppers. Everybody look at me real quick. Look at me. Let me use the most broken, pitiful English I possibly can to say this. There ain't no grasshoppers in this room. Let me say that again. You should have amen bigger than that to receive that. Listen, let me say that again. There ain't no grasshoppers in this room. You understand me?
You ain't a grasshopper. You ain't a grasshopper. You ain't a grasshopper. You are a mighty man or woman of God. The Spirit of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. And the listen to this, the same God who raised Jesus from the dead, according to Romans chapter 8, now lives on the inside of you. You ain't no grasshopper, baby. You are a man or woman of God. And through your life, God can do great and mighty things.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.